neighbor and say, it feels good in the house of the Lord today. It feels good in the house of the Lord today. Amen. You know, this church is built upon testimonies of people overcoming. Amen. And it's built of people who have victories to tell, stories to tell how good God has been to them. Amen. The day before I turn to the word of the Lord, I want to ask Sister Trina if she had come up here. Amen. How many's been loving having Sister Trina in this church? Amen. She's very transparent about what she goes through, and I want her to know that she has the full love and the full support of this body. Amen. We're going to stick with her through thick and thin. We're going to believe God all the way to the end. Amen. And it is so wonderful to have her back in the house of the Lord today. I'm going to have her give a quick testimony before we turn to the word of the Lord.
Am I close enough? I need to be further. I just wanted to tell I was here. I was gone for 2 weeks to Brown County, and then I came back, and I got more beer. And then James is telling me, Trina, come on, let's go to Celebrate Recovery. I'm like, I've been drinking. He said, I said, okay, let's go. And then we got home from Celebrate Recovery, and me not thinking that he's on probation and that shouldn't be in the house. Well, two cops came, and they said, he said, you dump this out, or he's going to jail with me. And I'm like, oh. So he said, take it out. I went right in the front yard and poured a whole case of beer down. And I want to thank you guys for all your prayers for me. I feel totally blessed to have you guys around me.
Amen. You never know what it means to somebody to see you in the house of the Lord. We're thankful for our Celebrate Recovery team. Amen. All those who spend week after week here helping people overcome. Amen. We're so thankful. Sister Trina, we love you, sis. We're so proud of you. Keep fighting the good fight. Amen. You're a victor. You're a victor. In the name of Jesus, you're a victor. And your greatest days are yet to come. Praise God. Stand with me as we turn to the word of the Lord. I feel an unction from the Holy One today. Amen. I want to preach what the Lord's put on my heart. You'll meet me in the book of Luke, the first chapter, and the 26th verse. I know we've had a wonderful time today, both in our first session and in this main session. I'll try not to weary you, but I do want to share with you what God has placed on my heart today. If you'll join me in the book of Luke, the first chapter, I'm just going to read verse 26 through 38. If you do not have your Bibles, text is provided for you upon the screens behind me. If you need a Bible, please see me. I'll make sure you have a Bible before you leave here today. Amen. We want every home to have a Bible. The book of Luke, the first chapter and the 26th verse. Shout yes if you're there. Luke 1 and 26, the Bible says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. Joseph was, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Everybody say Jesus. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great." Everybody say great. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." And then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was once called barren. For with God," everybody say with God, "for with God nothing shall be impossible." Ooh, man. And Mary said, "Behold," right here's where I want to hang my hat for just a few moments, if you'll bear with me. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the Bible says that the angel departed from her. Heroes and heroines are those who display character that we desire to duplicate. They achieve extraordinary things that we desire to achieve. They are those who quietly and without fanfare accomplish the remarkable, without a desire for acclaim, without a desire for notoriety. I'm not talking about the contemporary heroes of our day. I'm not talking about sports figures and Hollywood actors and figures of our day that stand on feet of clay. I'm talking about the heroes of our faith. I'm talking about people who have displayed amazing abilities to trust God, to obey God, to stand for God, no matter what should ever come their way. No matter what should ever come their way. I want to preach for just a few moments today on this topic. Made, not M-A-D-E. But M-A-I-D. Mary said, "I'm just a handmaiden." Mary might have just in her own eyes been a maid. But I want to preach to you today for just a few moments on made for more. Made for more. If you're happy that you're in a season of celebrating the coming of our King, if you're happy you're alive and well, if you're happy you're healthy, if you're happy you have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord, if you're happy for the presence of the Lord in this house, would you give him a great big shout of praise all over this house right now? Let's lift up our King. Let's lift up our Lord. Let's lift up our Savior. We were made for more today. Give him glory and give him praise. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today. You may be seated. Amen. Made for more. Mary was in her own mind just a maiden. Sorry, my nose is running like a sieve today. Mary, in her own mind, was just a maiden. But the Bible says that she was highly favored by God. Amen. And she was a young lady of such pure character that heaven's search party gave up the search once they discovered Mary. She was that highly favored by God himself. Once they discovered her, they said, this is it. Amen. She was a godly Hebrew girl who was saving herself for her husband. By the way, we still believe in saving yourself for your husband. Amen. She was a godly Hebrew girl who was saving herself for her husband, but her reputation was sacrificed to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy and to provide a sinless Savior to a sinful world. Mary was about to get married, Brother Harold. Mary was at the highlight of her life. Mary was engaged, espoused to Joseph. Everybody was celebrating the union, the coming together of this man and this woman. And then one day, Gabriel had to show up. My Lord have mercy. One day, Gabriel had to show up, and he begins to tell her, you're going to conceive a child. And she begins to tell him, how is that going to happen when I have never known a man? Amen. Mary sacrificed her reputation to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy and to provide the world with a sinless Savior. She was about to be married. It was a joyous time. They were being celebrated. And all of a sudden, she's put away privately. She's put away off to the side, hidden, because here's this young lady who has been highly respected. She's a godly Hebrew young lady, and she's never known a man, and she's about to be married to her husband, to her fiance, Joseph. Amen. And it's a wonderful time. It's a happy time. Amen. I've been to lots of weddings of people in this church, and when you're about to get married, it's a joyous occasion. But all of a sudden, Mary's life changed, and she was put away privately because she was going to have a baby, and she wasn't even married to Joseph yet. Can I let you in on a little secret today? Living for God is not always about the limelight. Can I let you in on a little secret? Living for God never gives you a promise you're always going to be on a mountain. Living for God doesn't mean all goosebumps and all roses and all handshakes and everything's going to be hunky-dory all the time. The truth of the matter is sometimes God's going to put you in an uncomfortable place. Amen. And all of a sudden, Mary goes from being celebrated to being talked about, to being ridiculed, to being put away privately, to being saying, how could she be having a baby when she ain't even married to Joseph yet? She was put away privately. In fact, listen, living for God is not always limelight. In fact, I remember Brother Levi about a year ago saying that if you gain the attention of heaven, you also get the attention of hell. How many know when God wants to use you for his glory, hell takes notice that God's about to use you for his glory, and the people who once celebrated you, the people who once loved you, the people who once supported you, the people who was once behind you are the ones lurking in the shadows talking bad about you because God's about to reveal his glory in you. Living for God ain't always limelight. Sometimes God's going to put you in a place where he needs to use your life for his glory. Mary was supposed to be celebrated. She went from being celebrated to being ridiculed and talked about. And you thought you was the first one. I thought I was the first one. We weren't the first one. Anything that gains the attention of heaven also gets the attention of hell. And hell is going to assail you. Hell is going to try to stop you. And all of a sudden, this godly young Hebrew lady goes from being celebrated to being talked about, ridiculed. She was a common girl, just a maiden in her own eyes. But with maturity and with grace, she responded to the angel Gabriel with these words. When he said unto her, you're going to have a child, and Joseph is going to put you away privately. You're going to be in a lonely place, Mary. You know what she said? She said, be it unto me. She said with maturity and with grace, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. You know why? Because Mary was made for more. Mary was made for more than just to be married to Joseph. Mary was made for more than to just be a godly Hebrew young girl. Mary was made for more, and you are made for more today. I want somebody to turn to your neighbor and say, I am made for more today. I am made for more. Mary was made for more, and you are made for more today. The Holy Ghost can move upon you. You can have a new birth experience today. You can be born again of the water and of the Spirit right here, right now, in this place. Today, you can have a new life, a new beginning, a new start. Come on, you can have a complete transformation. God can take his red blood, wash your black heart, turn it white as snow today, set you on the new path to prosperity and peace and prospering today in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody, clap your hands unto the Lord and give him glory for new beginnings today. You were made for more. You were made for more today. You were made for more than what this life can ever offer you. The Holy Ghost can move upon you. You can have a new beginning. You can have a new king. There is so much more than this. It's so much more, Brother Eddie, than that nice house God gave you. You're going to drive back over to Shelbyville or Fairland, too. There's so much, Sister Debbie, than that new car God gave you. There's so much more than what we see in this life. We are simply made for more. You can be good at what you do. You can be the best at what you do. It still is not what you were created to do. You were created to worship the Lord. You were created to do what the angels look into today. Come on, I want you to know there's a heavenly host looking at you today, right now, as you were worshiping God, as you was walking around this church, as you was kneeling down at an altar of prayer, as you was lifting hands towards heaven and giving God glory and praise. The angels were looking into what you were doing because you were made for more today. You were made for more than this. This is all vanity. This is all going away. You can't take it with you today. Come on, you were made for more than this today. You're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. Mary was made for more, and you are made for more today. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Created in his likeness and in his image. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost today. You were made for more. You are made for more. Your body is designed for the Holy Ghost today. You're made for so much more than this. This is all vanity. Yeah, we love our families. We love our jobs. We love our homes. I love going home and sitting in front of a fireplace with my beautiful wife and sitting there and open my drawer and do nothing and veg out like men do. There ain't no more happy place in my life than to be bored out of my mind sitting in front of my fireplace and just act like a vegetable. But I was made for more than that. I was made to come here. I was made to speak into your spirit. I was made to lead this church. I was made to pray some people out of the pits of hell. I was made to get Sister Trina with what she's going through. So are you. You're made for more, Mary. You're a child of God, Mary. You're made for more today. Clap your hands and give the Lord praise. Do you believe you were made for more today? Come on, you're a child of the King. You're made for more than this today. You're made for more. Somebody shout, I'm made for more. I'm made for more. Amen. We were made for so much more than this. Mary's life's challenge us to submit to the will of God. We don't worship Mary as in Catholicism. We understand that Mary is not the God that we serve. We have one God. His name is Jesus. We worship him. We give him glory. We give him praise today. We do not worship Mary, but we honor Mary for who she is. And we can glean today from the lives of these heroes that the Bible gives us. Brother Carl, we can look at the life of the Lord's mother, Mary, and we can glean from her and we can see that she challenges us to accept the will of God for our life. Even when it doesn't promise you notoriety or fame, even when it gets you talked about, even when it gets you ridiculed. How many ever said, oh man, you're going over there to that, how many ever had somebody tell you, you're going over to that Pentecostal church where those people are crazy at? Man, you're going over there to those apostolic people and they handle snakes. You know how many times I had people ask me, Sister Vicky, if we handle snakes? It never gets old. I still enjoy it. I still love it. I still laugh at it. I still say, yeah, we handle snakes. That would freak some people out, wouldn't it? Mary's life challenges us to accept the will of God in our life. Mary was being celebrated. Mary was in a wonderful place. Mary and Joseph was about to get married. Mary and Joseph was at the highlight of their life, and all of a sudden, the Lord shows up. The Lord sends Gabriel, and he speaks to Mary, and he says, you're going to have a child. And she says, "How? I'm confused where this conversation, I don't understand this salutation. I don't understand where you're going with this. I have never known a man." And he said, "I know you haven't, but the Holy Ghost is going to move upon you." And all of a sudden, he tells Joseph, put her away privately. And she went from being in the limelight. She went from being celebrated. She went from being in a joyous occasion to be put away privately in a lonely place waiting for her child to come while people lurked in the shadows and said, she's pregnant and she ain't even married. Raise your hand, you ever been backstabbed by the world today? Raise your hand, you ever been disappointed by the world today? People you once thought loved you. Mary's life challenges us to submit to the will of God, even when it's unpopular with us. Even when it's not going to give us notoriety, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's going to cost you something. Can I tell you, Mary did not become the mother of Jesus and it not cost her something. Can I tell you that even though she was the mother of Jesus, she needed to be saved by Jesus just like the rest of us did? Huh? And here Mary goes from this joyous celebratory time in her life to being put away privately and understanding that the will of God in her life is going to cost her something severe. But she says, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't even hesitate, Brother Logan, when the angel Gabriel said to her, he's going to put you away privately. You're going to have a child. You're coming out of the limelight and you're going into the secret place. She didn't even hesitate with the will of God in her life. My God, what can we learn? What can we glean from the life of Mary today? She challenged us to submit to the will of God, even if it's going to cost us something. Mary understood Romans 8 and 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared unto the glory which God is going to reveal in us. Mary understood that what she was going through, it was worth what she, it was worth the glory of God being revealed in her life. Can I tell you, the next time you're going through something, you just need to lean your head back and you need to say, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that God is going to reveal in me when this thing is over, because all things work toward the good of those that love the Lord and put their trust in him. Mary did not bat an eye. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. She knew that the glory of God was going to be revealed. Listen to me today. Mary could have said, I don't want no part of this. Mary could have said, I'm in a wonderful time in my life. Mary could have said, everything's going good right now. I don't need the Holy Ghost to move up on me. Mary could have denied it. Mary could have told Gabriel, you need to go find you another Hebrew girl. You need to go find you somebody else for the Holy Ghost to move up on. And she would have died and nobody would have remembered who she was. But 2,000 years later, here we are sitting in the midst of this church talking about Mary, because she opened her mouth with a boldness and she said, be it unto me according to thy word. I want God's will to be done in my life. Mary challenged the church to accept God's will even if it's going to cost us something. That didn't get you all jumping up and down. But it's all right, I didn't expect it to. Your flesh wants to hear that living for God can cost you something. But the truth of the matter is, when you give your life to God, when you pursue a life in Christ, when you're filled with His Spirit, people are going to drop off you like fleas off of a dog. People's going to run from you like you got the plague, Brother Eric. People's going to say, he's one of those Pentecostals. But the Lord's going to replace them with a brand new set of friends, some that'll stand by you, some that'll worship God with you, some that'll pray with you at your darkest moments, some people that'll hold your hand when you're in the valley, some people that'll say, we're going to make it together. We were made for more than this. I don't need Budweiser to make me happy. I don't need a joint to make me feel good. I was made for more than this world has to offer me today. I'm made for more than this. And the glory of God is much greater than what He's going to put me through to reveal His glory in me. Mary could have said, I don't want no part of this, man. I'm about to get married. Come on, people are going to talk about me. You know how many people won't transform their lives, won't listen to God because they're afraid people are going to talk about them? I know people that will not listen to the Lord because of what people are going to say. You know what I say? Let the haters hate. You know what I say? Let the devil run his mouth. It ain't going to stop God's glory from being revealed in my life. I'm made for more than all of this. I don't need all of this to give me my self-worth. I'm a born-again, tongue-talking, devil-stomping child of God. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I repented of my sins, and I'm made for more than this. I'm made for more than this today. Somebody shout, I'm made for more. I'm made for more. Mary could have denied the will of God in her life. I just want to get personal for a second. I tried to run from what God had called me to do, Sister Vic. I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a policeman. But that's not what God wanted for me. I tried to run. I'm not married today. I tried to say, Lord, I don't want to be a pastor. Lord, just let me pursue my dreams. Just let me do what I want to do. Lord, I'm at a good place in my life. Lord, I just got accepted to police academy, for Pete's sakes. And he said, if you ain't going to listen to me, you'll listen to your body. And he put me in a lonely place. He put me in a place of suffering. He put me in a place where I didn't have a choice but to depend up on him, Brother Teddy. Because I wouldn't listen. Mary's life challenges us to listen and to submit to the will of God in our lives. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. You were made for more, and you just got to trust his will today. And she didn't resist. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And 2,000 years later, here we are talking about Mary because God revealed his glory in her. Because she submitted to the will of God. Mary showed us that if we want the glory of God revealed in his church, we got to submit to his will. I got more amens on that than I thought I would. That's pretty good. If we want the glory of God to be revealed in us, we got to submit to the will of God. You got to submit to the will of God. You see, it's our nature. We enjoy self-rule. We love being our own boss. We love making our own decisions. We love sitting back in our mighty seat and saying, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. We love feeling like we're in control of our own destiny and our own ending. We enjoy self-rule. It's the nature of our flesh today. Our flesh does not enjoy being told what to do. I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard somebody say, ain't no man gonna tell me what to do. Really, what does your boss do at work? What does your wife do at home? What does your husband do? Matter of fact, what does your five-year-old do at home? They tell you what to do. Ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Let me tell you something. You better learn to submit to the will of God in your life, because my Bible tells me that submitting is a skill. It's something we got to learn every day of our life. We got to learn to submit to the will of God. My Bible tells me that unless we submit to God, we cannot resist the devil. It didn't say resist the devil and then submit to God, Brother Paul. It said, submit to God and resist the devil. You cannot resist the devil until you learn the skill of submission. Oh, my God. It's quiet in here. We got to learn to submit to the will of God in our lives. And this is exactly what Mary was showing us. We got to be submitted to the will of God because we are made for more than we could possibly ever achieve. Let me tell you something. You can make millions. You can be the biggest success story in your family. You can achieve more degrees than a thermometer. You can do all these great things in life and still be broken and still be hurting and still be lost and without God and still be miserable. But let me tell you something, when you submit to the will of God in your life, it don't matter what you have. Nothing in this world can take away your joy and your peace in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you were made for more than this. You were made for more than this. Hallelujah. Mary submitted to the will of God. Be it according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word, Gabriel. Whatever God has for me, I want it in my life. And then Mary committed to the service in the will of God. She said, I want to do something for the kingdom of God. How many want to do something for the kingdom of God? How many want to feel like your life has purpose and your life has meaning and God is using you for his glory? I want to do something for the kingdom of God today. But let me tell you something. You better be careful what you say. Because servanthood runs contrary to our flesh. Servanthood runs contrary to our fleshly thinking. It runs contrary to our human nature. Servanthood is not something that your flesh enjoys. And if you're going to live for God, you're going to be a servant. If you're going to live for God, you're going to be a servant. Our flesh does not enjoy being told what to do. It recoils. It resists. It rebels against governing forces in its life. That's what the flesh does. It resists. It rebels. It recoils. It refuses governing forces in your life. Your flesh does not love to be told what to do. And submission is a skill. Submission is something we got to learn every day of our lives. On a weekly basis, I walk into my job and I sit down and I disagree with something my boss does, Sister Carol, and I say, you need to submit to him. He's an authority in your life. This is not your company. This is his company, and you need to let him do what he does because he's the boss. If we could only do that with God, if we could only say, Lord, you're the boss. You're the boss, applesauce. It's your way, Lord. Do what you want. Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. That's what Mary did. That's what Mary did. We got to learn submission every day of our lives. The skill of submission is something that we must repeatedly learn. And I say a skill because that's exactly what it is. It's a skill that makes you more valuable. It's a skill that gains you favor with God. And it's something you got to learn. It's something that makes you better. You cannot resist the devil unless you first learn to submit to God. Submission forfeits your right to determine your own outcome. That's a scary place to be. That takes faith. To forfeit your determination in your own outcome, to say, God, my life is in your hands. Do with it what you will. That is submission. That is what Mary did. She forfeited. She submitted unto the will of God in her life. But submission gives God the opportunity to work all things towards our good. When we get in God's way, we make a mess, Brother Dave, of his plan for our life. I didn't have to go through those back troubles. I did that to myself. I don't blame God for that. I should have listened when he told me, Brother Peter. If I would have had the sense of Mary, I would have just said, Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. But that's not what I did. And that's not what we do sometimes because we don't learn the skill of submission. Mary submitted to the will of God because she was made for more. She was made for more. Submission says, Lord, you know better than I do. Then Mary committed to the service and the will of God. She decided she wanted to be used by God. Can I tell you one of the greatest services that you can render to the Lord is to lead the needy to him? That's why we have Celebrate Recovery in this church. That's why we have Bible studies in this church. That's why we have outreach in this church. That's why we have all these things in this church. Because the greatest service we can render unto our King is to lead broken people to him. That's what God wants us to do. How many remember the marriage in Cana? And the Bible says that Jesus and his disciples accompanied Mary at the wedding. And the Bible says they ran out of wine at the wedding feast. And then all of a sudden, they say, oh, well, what are we going to do? There's no more wine to drink. And Mary says, well, let me take you over here to a man. She gathers up all the servants from the wedding feast, and she leads them right over to Jesus, and she gave them the best motherly advice anybody has ever given the world. This is what she said. She said, this is Jesus. Do whatever he says. Can I give you a good piece of advice today? Stop trying to do things your way, because you were made for more than you can ever accomplish on your own. I'm going to give you the best advice anybody has ever given you in your life. I'm going to take you to Jesus, and I'm going to say, this is Jesus. Just do what he says, because you're made for more than you can ever accomplish on your own. Our greatest service to the kingdom of God is to lead people right to him. You don't have to fix everybody. I know that's hard to believe. And I know you think you can. And sometimes I think I can, but we can't fix everybody. And it ain't our job to fix everybody. Our job is to lead them to Jesus and let them work out their own salvation with fear and with trembling. And let him help fix them. We can take them to the one who can. You are not God Almighty. You are not called to fix everybody, but you are called to lead them to the one who can. Mary led those servants over to Jesus, and she told them, just do whatever he tells you to do. Let me tell you something. Those servants, they witnessed the Lord's first miracle because they were willing to do whatever the Lord told them to do, Brother Don. And let me tell you something. Your miracle depends on your willingness to submit to God. Your miracle depends on your willingness to obey God, to listen to the voice of God in your life. She led him right over to Jesus, and she said, here he is. Just do whatever he tells you to do. That's being committed to service in the will of God. It's understanding our place. We are not the one who fixes everything. I wish I had the answers for everything, but I don't. I wish I could tell you how to fix every problem you're ever going to run into in your life, but I would be misleading you. The truth is, we can join together in prayer. We can take it to the one who knows how to work it out. Huh? Come on, if you got a problem, take it to Jesus. He knows how to work it out today. We don't have to be the one to fix everything and everybody. We just got to take it to the Lord. We got to commit to our service in the will of God. Let me tell you something. It would have been easier for Mary to do what we do many times, and that's just to run away. How many of you have ever run away from a situation? It would have been so much easier for Mary to just run away and say, that's my boy and I love him and I can't watch him go through this. So I just got to get away from him. You know how many people that I have heard say, I just got to keep them out of my life because I can't watch them go through what they're going through. I was talking to somebody not long ago. Was telling me that a woman left a man that she had been married to for years because he got sick and he was dying. And she told him she had to leave because she couldn't bear to watch him go through what he was going through. It's always easier to run from your problems. It's always easier to run from whatever you're going through. But that's not what Mary did. It would have been so much easier for her to just pack up her things and run away and say, I'm not going to watch what they're going to do to him. But that's not what she did. That's not what she did. John 19 and 25 records, the Bible says, now there at the cross at the foot of Jesus stood his mother, Mary. She didn't run from what she had to see. She didn't run from what she had to go through. The Bible tells us that she stayed right there by Jesus' side. Why? Because Mary was made for more. Church, in its simplest form, serving Christ comes down to exactly that, staying at the feet of Jesus. Not tuck and tell, not running, not hiding from your problems, but facing everything you go through with the Lord by your side. The best thing you could ever do is stay at the feet of Jesus. Just stay at the feet of Jesus. I love him so much. Mary's attitude was, I love him so much. I just want to be where he's at. Can I tell you that even if God's plan for you is to go through a valley, he's going to be there with you. You just need to be where he is. If he's in the valley, you want to be in the valley with him. You need to love him so much that you just want to be where he's at. I don't care where it takes me. I don't care what I have to go through. I love him so much, I just want to be where he is. I love him too much to fail him now. He's brought me too far. I'm not turning around. I'm not going back. I'm not surrendering. I'm submitting to the will of God because I'm made for more than this. I'm made for more than this. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. Mary was made for more. As is everyone under the sound of my voice, whether this is your first day in this church or whether you've been here for 7 years since we started, you are made for more than this. You are made for more than this life will ever offer you. You were made for more than you could ever accomplish on your own. Mary accepted God's plan for her life. Mary gave birth to Jesus. Mary laid him in a feeding trough where the horses ate their hay from. Mary was there from start to finish. Mary took him to the temple to be dedicated unto God. Mary trained him up in the way that he should go. Mary watched him perform miracles. Mary watched people walk away from him. Mary watched him be ridiculed. Mary watched him have to be hidden. Mary watched him ascend into the heavens. Mary was there from start to finish. Mary was at his feet when he was crucified and he died for our sins. Mary was there to anoint his body when she arrived at the tomb only to find out that it was empty. Mary was there. And I come to tell you today, sometimes the way's gonna get hard. Sometimes the way's gonna get rough, but you gotta be there. You just gotta be there. You just gotta be where Jesus is. You just gotta stay close by his side. You just gotta stay close to his feet. Mary was there to anoint his body. She was there in an upper room following those instructions that he gave at his ascension. When he said, go to Jerusalem. There's going to be a man bearing a pitcher of water. He's going to show you to an upper room. All things are going to be furnished. Just go there and wait the promise of the Father. Mary, who was made for so much more, was gathered together with those 119 other people in that upper room. And everything that she had been through for her whole life, from the time her baby was born, everything she had been through had led her to that moment. She watched him go away. She watched him suffer and die. And she was there when he returned as the Holy Ghost. And he infilled her. He empowered her just like he did those other 119 people. Everything she had been through had led her to that moment. Why? Because she was made for more. She was made, her body was the temple of the Holy Ghost. She was designed to be filled with His Spirit. She received a promise. Jesus manifested Himself as the Holy Ghost that day. Mary repented of her sins. Mary was baptized in Jesus' name. Mary was filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Mary was just a maiden in her own eyes, but she was made for more. And I come to tell you today, life will beat you up. The disappointments of life will hand you a raw deal sometimes. You're not going to understand everything that you go through. I can imagine that mother standing at the feet of Jesus. In fact, when he was a boy, the Bible records that she took him into the house of God to be dedicated, and along comes a man and a woman, and they picked up Jesus and they began to speak into his life. And then the man turns to Mary and he says, "There's going to be a sword that is going to pierce your soul." And I promise you, that prophecy came to pass. As she stood at the feet of her baby, he was beaten, he was mocked, he was spat upon. They pierced him in his side with a spear. Forth come blood and water. And I promise you, as they pierced him with that spear, they also pierced her with that sword in her soul. That prophecy came to pass. Everything life deals you is not going to be what you're going to enjoy. But one thing's for sure, it's all leading up to your promise. You were made for more. You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You were created in His likeness and in His image. You were made for more than all of this. The Lord desires to do amazing things in your life. He wants to reveal His glory just as He did in Mary. He wants to reveal His glory. But you got to love Him enough to be where He is. You got to love Him enough to be where He is. As we sing this closing song, these altars are open today. I believe the Lord is speaking to somebody. I believe the Holy Ghost is confirming to somebody right now, you were made for more than what you are right now. This is not the end. This is not all that there is. I'm going to reveal my glory in your life. I want you to get out of that seat right now. I want you to walk up to the front of this church, and I want you to say, "Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Let your will be done in my life and not my own, because I was made for more than this. I was made for more than this." As we sing